Hey Podnuts, Corey here from Instant House Call. Whether you're a break fix tech who needs to provide remote support on demand without pre-installed software, or a managed service provider who wants to connect to unattended PCs anytime, Instant House Call makes remote support easy. I want to invite you to try Instant House Call free for yourself. Go to podnuts.com and click on the link in the show notes, then use the promo code PODNUTS. Instant House Call is the best remote support on earth. We can prove it. Try it free now and see for yourself.
Welcome to Podnuts Daily, episode number 425, a show for computer repair techs by computer repair techs. I'm your host, Jeff Hallish. I'm joined today by Aaron Michael from techietutors.com. How you doing, Aaron?
Always good. Thank you. How are you?
Good. I'm doing excellent. I am ready to talk tech, and it sounds like you're coming from a unique situation where basically you have gone from a part-time computer repair person to a full-time computer repair person. So I definitely want to hear the story on that and, you know, basically how the transition or how you've been treating that transition going from, you know, part-time to full-time. And we'll definitely get into that in the middle of the show. But why don't you go ahead and start off and just let people know where you're from and basically how you basically got started in computer repair.
For sure. Well, first, thanks for having me on, and I appreciate the show and the content. I was born in California at a very young age and spent some time on the East Coast where I grew up, back and forth, and got my start professionally in computers, and professionally defined as getting paid to work on computers, building and doing upgrades. Like when I was really young compared to the kids nowadays who are catching this stuff by the time they're 5 or 6, but I was about 15, 16, and always worked on my computer, friends' computers. And friend's parent was like, "Hey, can you do an upgrade on my computer?" And yeah, that's cakewalk, no problem. And gave me some money. So officially got my start over 20 years ago. But in the meantime, had done a whole bunch of other things and kind of stayed in computers here and there, just a gaming hobbyist, things like that. So worked in restaurants and bars, worked in manufacturing, worked in a bunch of different industries, fitness and nutrition, and always done it on the side, and got back into computers through working for big box retailers as management for the most part, but overseeing the tech area. And this was at a time when a certain one of those big box retailers was really making a huge push on their tech services, and they were spending a lot of money on personnel. And so they had some really, really talented people in there who were able to share the love and bring up a baby tech and help me learn a lot more, since I had been out of the game for, you know, a couple of years or whatever. Everything goes by so fast, you know?
Right.
So I had to catch up a lot. And in addition, they were to compound all kinds of knowledge on me that I soaked up like a sponge, and I loved it, and started doing that actually after I stopped working for retail. Went in to work for a smaller, like, boutique style computer shop, a repair shop. High tickets and you know, nice machines, typically are higher end gaming machines and servers and things like that, and would do a lot of on-site work. In the meantime, I had always done, you know, part-time on the side kind of work for different people that I knew, different people that I had met, who learned, you know, what I did for a living. And after a while, I was kind of thinking, and for other reasons, ethical reasons, I didn't feel good about the business model that the store I was working for had. And actually, you know, I mean, I'm sure a lot of people can relate, but working at a big box retailer in the tech environment, you don't always feel really aligned with the agenda, if you will,
right?
Just to put it diplomatically. So I always felt like doing the right thing for people and doing what I'm paid to do were kind of in conflict. And I don't feel like that anymore. And that's part of the reason that I left. The other part of the reason was, you know, just looking at, I'm an introverted person, pretty much through and through. And I think a lot of people have a misconception that, oh, introverts don't get out there, they don't talk to people. It's not that we don't. It just takes a lot of energy, a lot of effort. And
right.
I had a lot of training doing that, working in sales, working in customer service, things of that nature. So, you know, I was like, I can get out there. I can sell. I can, you know, build my client list, and I can turn this into something where not only do I make more money, and improve the quality of my life and my family's life, but I actually improve the quality of the customer's life significantly compared to how I was paid to do it before, which, you know, I didn't really feel like I worked for the customer. I felt like I worked for a shareholder, basically. So,
right.
So yeah, that's my my quick snapshot of my tech history. So, I mean, what I do most often, and what I've done in the last few weeks or so, a good mix of residential and business. So definitely break fix tech. So if you have an issue, you call me. Managed support is not something that I've done yet, although the more I hear about it, it seems like the dark side, that once you get a taste, like, oh, you're in it. A lot of the guests, it seems like, are fully on board with that notion, and they kind of left behind the rest of it, which is great. I mean, I haven't had my first taste yet, so we'll see how that goes. That being said, I do love doing remote support, because as I jokingly say with people, like, I could be in my pajamas right now and
exactly, you
know, I'm still taking care of business.
Exactly.
But anyway, so lately, I don't know, QuickBooks, finding people's QuickBooks issues and getting those squared away. The fella just recently had carpet put in to his office and came back home. You know, carpet looks great, but they picked up the desk, they disconnected everything, and they left a bunch of wires on the ground, everything disconnected. So I'll go in and do things like that. Wireless printers, people have issues with all the time.
Oh,
I want to put around here, Southern California, some pretty big properties, so people want to put range extenders in, just basic, you know, home stuff, no problem. I love that. You know, I really enjoy working with those clients. They're often great people. One comes to mind, he's an artist, and he's getting a little bit older, and things aren't coming as quickly, and he's had for a long time like a really big wide format printer, really pro printer, and he'll print out his art and hang it and distribute it, put it in galleries, and he just often needs help with the mechanical parts of the printer, because it's pretty involved. And I love mechanical stuff. You know, I love taking laptops apart and doing all the hardware stuff. That's where I got my start. And that's where my inclination really is. But yeah, helping him out, doing things like that. And on the business side, most of it seems like someone was moving, a nutrition company was moving, and they wanted to move all their server and network equipment to a new server room and get it all set up and do all that. So, you know, it's kind of intimidating for a lot of people, and I'll get in there and do that. Recently did security surveillance systems at a few different locations locally for a really big company that you've heard of. So I was really proud of that. A lot of people in manufacturing around here. So a couple cool stories that I'm pretty proud of. There was a fella that had a $250,000 industrial etching machine. You know, his industry is putting branding on various products. So you'll send him a product and he'll write, you know, your company's logo on there or whatever, or the specifications of the wires, things like that. So all kinds of different machines doing crazy stuff. And this is some $250,000 machine made in Italy that's got this industrial looking case, and that's the computer that runs it. And it's, you know, who knows what's going on. He's saying this is down. You know, the company that makes this wants $5,000 to replace the computer unit in it. And I'm losing $10,000 if I don't get this contract, you know, produced and sent out. Customers breathing down my neck. And can you help me? And I said, you know, sure, I'll do my best. You know, I'll take a look at it and I'll see. Because frankly, you're not going to find someone who's not in Italy that has worked on this machine before.
Right.
And I think that was a lesson for me that I learned a long time ago. And I won't bird trail too much, but with Mac computers, I know a lot of people are afraid of them. Just get a recycled Mac computer and start playing with it. You'll find out they're so much easier than you might think. I turned those jobs down because I was scared of them. And once I started working on them, I'm like, this is a breeze. It's almost all hardware. So cakewalk. Anyway, so I take a look at this machine, and you know, it looks more or less like a regular computer, but everything's hot glued down for the vibration because it's industrial.
Okay.
And so I figure out how to get the hard drive out, and I, you know, image that onto a new hard drive. And then I go check the hard drive and find out the hard drive's going bad, of course, and put the image in, and everything works great. And the guy is like, oh, that's fantastic. How much do I owe you? And billed him for the time, which was insignificant compared to how much value that had for that particular client. And in trying to offer me more, I'm like, hey, you know, I'm just going to bill you for what I did. You know, the value might be significant to you. I hope it is to everybody, but for me, it's my time. And you know, that takes care of that. We're good.
Right.
You know, get out there and tell your friends or whatever. So that's exactly. One that I was super proud of, fixed a $5,000 computer that was made in Italy that no one else could take care of for him. Another one was a tunneling machine. This guy digs holes through mountains to put roads through, presumably, or pipes or whatever. But he's got a machine that digs holes through mountains. And the software that runs it is based on NT. and comes in, has got this problem, pretty much the same situation, dusted off an old ISO of NT and threw it on there, and guy's digging holes through mountains and everything's great. But otherwise, like, what was he going to do? You know, was he going to go out and buy a new computer and have someone rewrite the software for it to make this machine work again, that no doubt there's a significant investment in, you know? So meet people where they're at and help them out where they're at. And if it's something that you've never seen before, take a look at it. Don't make any promises, but, you know, I'll take a look at it for you.
Sure.
I'll try. And I'm not going to break anything. I'm not going to mess anything up. I'll keep you in the loop and tell you what I've learned, and you can help me make the decision for you. But don't be scared of stuff, for sure. Anyway, so yeah, that's some of what I've been doing a little bit lately.
What did you use to image that drive for that etching machine?
If I remember, Acronis.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I happened to have set up on the machine that I was using at the time, the bench machine I was using at the time. And yeah.
Okay. I'm always curious what different products people use. So that's
me
cool.
too. And I like going to actually this show and clicking on the links and just trying out a bunch of the different stuff that people talk about, and whether I end up using it or not, whatever. But like, I really enjoy trying it and hearing what everybody else has on their bench. So
sure.
Thank
absolutely.
You.
Absolutely. No problem. Okay. So it sounds like it sounds like very interesting work for, you know, computer repair. It's not just about computer repair. I mean, you're fixing computers that are attached to big pieces of machinery, and it does sound exciting. And I think you brought up a good point, is that you can always try. You can always take a look at something and, you know, see if you can do it or not. And if not, no big deal. But a lot of times I think what we do is, when we look at those types of things, I think we learn how to do something new that we didn't know how to do before. And we're like, hey, that wasn't as hard as I thought it was going to be. You know,
right. So. Yeah. I mean, this guy was having an issue with PCI compliance, trying to hook up a kiosk for a DVD rental at a convenience store. And, you know, I'm like, let me take a look at that. And we all know, just jumped up there on Google. And, you know, I mean, you brought up a great point about things being exciting. Like, I've recently, got a job, hopefully this pans out. This guy works in aviation with helicopters and really cool clients, and you know, checking out his shop, it was awesome, and gonna do his website for him, or redo his website for him rather. And you were talking about interesting, fun things. I mean, yeah, I work on the computers, and they're attached to interesting people, and those people, that's really what we do. I mean, you know, we help people, and we do it through helping with their technology and using our skill set. But really, if you get to know the people you work for, a lot of them are really cool, interesting people. And you can, I don't want to say sell them a lot more, but you can find more needs that you're able to fill for them.
Right.
When you get to know them better. And I worked with a really cool race car place recently too. But it's neat. You get to go in there and check out what they do. And the referral situation, when you get into that kind of relationship, is such a benefit. I mean, I've gotten so many clients from completely unrelated industries. Other people out there might have, if you do residential work, you might have a larger segment of older folks, you know, your 55 plus communities. You might spend a lot of time in those areas, and the referral, the word of mouth and that kind of a situation is immeasurable. I mean, if you can go into a community and pick up four or five computers in one day, I mean, for me, I'd be stoked on that.
Right. So, oh, absolutely. No, you're right. Word of mouth is, I think, is still key to this business. And so you go out there and you do good work, and, you know, you're compensated for that by other people, you know, telling other people how they like their technician and how they worked on their problem. So going from there, now you moved from a part-time business to a full-time business. Why don't you go ahead and walk us through that? And kind of your whole thought process, and, you know, what you were thinking when you said, okay, I'm gonna make this break now. Because for a lot of people, it's really scary. And I'm sure it was really scary for you. And maybe even it's still a little bit scary, because there's a lot of unknowns. But if you could walk us through that process, that would be great. And maybe that'll help somebody else out.
Yeah, I really hope that it does. I mean, because I'll start off by saying, anything that I say may not be right. You know, who knows? This is just based on my research and my best effort. So if you want to criticize, feel free, please. Like, I've got rhino skin. You can, I would accept that criticism, but I'm just doing my best.
Right.
I'm not telling you what's going to be best for y'all. But, so yeah, working part-time, I think a lot of people could probably relate. You know, you're thinking, I would like to not have to drive to work every day. You know, I'd like to, I mean, I've always been real firm with employers. I don't want to say firm, but like the conditions are, I've got to be able to go pick my daughter up from school. That's a have to do. So I will take my lunch hour and I'll do that or whatever. And if that doesn't work out, well, then it's not going to work out. It is a deal breaker. But things like that, having to put yourself in that situation. And then, you know, there might be events that you might have to miss because I have to work.
Right.
You know, like I can't not go to work. I have to, like, otherwise I get fired, right? And then I can't pay the bills. So I have to do it. And there's a lot of people out there that don't do that. And why can't I not do that? You know, like, I have something that's of value that I can offer people. I do it all the time and I see people pay money and I make these companies literally hundreds of thousands of dollars. And, you know, I get that I'm not the only one working and I get that so much more now, trust me, and I'll go into it. But, but like, why can't I, like, what's wrong with me? Like that I'm not good enough to do that. So that was my thought process. And, you know, there's no reason why not. I do have a lot of skill and I do have a lot of capability. So I have something to offer and I do it all the time and I could do that myself and did a lot of research. I'm the kind of person that will go in and read up and do all the research and all the planning ahead of time and think about something really thoroughly. And then it looks like to everybody else, it was a snap judgment and just, wow, broad stroke, change everything all at once. But it wasn't. It was building it all up and then executing and executing swiftly and efficiently. You know, so once you start getting a paycheck, you're on a timetable. You know, however much you decided to save up, I recommend about 3 months. That's what you've got. So now you got 3 months to make it work,
right?
Make it happen. So my situation with the employer, I'm not the kind of guy to drop a place and, you know, just say, oh, see you later. Put in 2 weeks and offered, you know, more if they needed it and whatever, I'll help you train my replacement and all that stuff. So really good terms there, no big deal at all. But before I had decided to leave them, I knew that I couldn't just go and then start everything because it was going to take me longer than that. So actually, about 2 months before that, is when I really started the plan. And that's when I went out and got the business license. And before you can do that, you've got to decide, like, what's your company going to be called? You don't have to decide the logo at that point, but what's the company going to be called? What are you going to brand it? Are you going to use your name or are you going to put a company name to it? I went with Techie Tutors because, I won't go too much into it, but the soundbite is promoting technological literacy. That's what I do. And so in that comes helping people learn how to do things for themselves.
Okay.
You know, teaching them how to fish and showing them that it's really not that hard. And you can do a lot of this stuff yourself. And when you find something that you can't do, then you'll call me. But in the meantime, I've made you more capable and I've made you able to enhance your life using all the technology that you have available to you that you knew was available and you're just kind of scared to use. Smartphones with not just older folks, but everybody who's not, you know, a teenager or younger, they have trouble with it. And they hear about, oh, well, what's this app? Then I wish I could use that. And
right.
Someone was telling me they didn't have Skype and they didn't know how to use Skype. And I've shown that to so many older folks who can talk to their grandkids and watch them open presents on Christmas. And it's unbelievable how much it actually impacts their life and how easy it is to teach somebody how to do that. But anyway, that's why I went with the brand that I went with. The next thing that I had to do was go out and look at the web presence. You know, is somebody else already using the name? Do I have the Facebook? Do I have the YouTube, the Twitter, the, you know, all that stuff? And is someone else already using it? If I type in the business name that I'm thinking of, what comes up? So fortunately, there's a couple other people that had some variations and something similar, but it wasn't really that close at all. So I went with it and I just got all those, went and got the domain, the website thing, just, I don't want to say slap something together, but, you know, kind of once I got the logo together and all that, threw it together, kind of made the branding consistent across the Google Plus and the Facebook and tried to make all of it look more or less the same. You get out there and make sure you're, you're on Google, you're on Bing, you're on Yahoo. I mean, this is just my strategy. I just went out there and got on everything.
Sure.
And you got the, I decided to just get a Google Voice number and go with that. So got that. We know that there's all kinds of, I mean, all this is free for the most part. You
right.
know, then you've got to get your business license and you've got to get a doing business as fictitious business name, registered. So you got to go to your city hall or your clerk or whatever, and tell them what you're doing or do the research like me. And then you come in with your forms all filled out and ready to go. But they're going to have to register you. So then they have to put you in the newspaper. You have to call the newspaper and have them run your, basically telling the world that you're a business now. And you know, that costs a little bit of money. This is, these things are like $50 or less, all this stuff.
Right.
But you get your paperwork in order. You decide if you're going to want to do, and I understand Technibble's got their startup kit and you could just go to there and do it all. I'm the kind of person that I need to understand it and I need to do it for myself. It's a flaw, but you know, I've used it to my advantage before. We'll see how it goes. Cause now I understand all this stuff a lot better. The SEO ranking, I didn't know anything, went and registered, not registered, but, researched and learned from all kinds of people who do that for a living and learned a lot more about that. And I learned that it's, significant, and I'm going to end up having to pay somebody most likely, maybe not, but yeah, you're going to learn what your limitations are too. You have to decide how you're going to market, how you're going to find people, you know, to give you money. Do you have an existing client base that kind of supports you to the extent that you're going to be able to budget and keep going?
Right. Right.
So, I mean, my situation was that, okay, I have a little bit of money. I'm making as much on the side as I make at my full-time job with my time off. That's either like after work or on the weekends or whatever.
Sure.
And so if I'm doing that right now, then I at least got to be able to make as much, right, as my full-time job after. And I'm a numbers person, so I had to figure it all out. And I thought, yes, I believe that I can do that. I can make at least as much as I'm making at my full-time job if I leave right now. And so I set the date and I said, if I feel this way still, and it was like a, I don't know, 28-day timer. Actually, no, it was, yeah, the February, the last day of February. Was my deadline, and I already wrote in my 2-week notice and everything. And I'm like, okay. And then the day came and I still felt like, yes, this is what I want to do. So I put it in and pulled the trigger and did it, stopped working. And then the scary part starts. because I thought about it before, but I didn't really prepare for it. I don't think is you don't have to be to work at 9 a.m. anymore. So you know, what you have to make a schedule. I feel like I should have made a schedule.
Gotcha. Right.
I should have said, I just got a new job and my new job is working for myself. And this is my schedule. This is what I expect from myself. These are the terms of my employment with myself. And I really should have done that, but, I didn't. So I've been kind of figuring it out as I go and spending time doing this, spending time doing that. But most of it is like learning, okay, I have to, you need customers. You can be the best tech in the world. If you don't have people paying you to work, you know, what are you doing really? I mean, how is that not a hobby? So getting people to pay me, you know, getting people to know who I am and spending that time is important. And that is what you really need to, or I would recommend, to budget the most amount of time for is what are you going to do to advertise? What are you going to do to market?
Right.
How much time are you going to actually hit the pavement and go walk around and talk to people and actually introduce yourself, hand out cards? And as an introverted person, like I mentioned before, that takes a lot of energy. You know, I can't do that 10 hours a day.
Right.
And I found neat ways to kind of integrate it. One great tip that I can recommend to people that's actually gotten me some business is you need to eat lunch, right? And even if you bag your lunch and take it with you, but go eat lunch where other people eat lunch, you know, specifically go eat lunch where the people that you think you might be able to offer something to are eating lunch. I went and got a couple t-shirts made. The back of it's got my phone number on it and, you know, quick snapshot of what I do or whatever. And the email address or the website. And I've gotten a couple of people, if you're putting your best foot forward and smiling, and I take my dog out with me, so I'm a lot more approachable. She's a cute little 12-pound poodle. And,
gotcha.
So you gotta get out there and talk to people and put some, you know, magnets on the side of my vehicle so that, that you're more approachable, you're recognizable. You got to try to shave once in a while and comb your hair time to time, try not to smell bad. But you have to be able to talk to people, even if it's not your style. Just put on, I don't want to call it a mask, but put on that character, put on the game face. You know, if you're at Disneyland and you're playing Goofy, you got to put your mask on or whatever and the person that you need to be to be approachable. But anyway, start up conversations with people. You stop in a business, you know, my, I don't want to say pitch, but you know, good afternoon. My name's Aaron Michael. I'm a local IT professional. I've done some work in this area with clients like you, and I just wanted to give you my card. Are you using anybody currently for your IT needs in the office, or, you know, however you think it sounds good to you, but that's just kind of what's been rolling off the tongue for me. And you're going to get so many more no's and like people uncomfortable and kind of not trying to rush you out, but, oh no, no, we're good. Or, you know, I don't even know. I just work the front desk.
Right.
The owner doesn't even come in here. And if you, you know, want to sell and say, well, do you mind if I get an email address so I can send you something that you could forward to the owner or whatever. If you're not going to, I don't want to say be assertive, but if you're just going to be like, okay, thanks anyway, bye. You know, anyone who's ever been in sales, I don't want to say you got to take three no's, but you got to make sure that you've at least communicated your offer so that they understand fully what they're turning down and be cool about it. But so yeah, there's that, a lot of that for me, at least, has just been getting out there and talking to people, but doing it at lunch, you know, going out for lunch and just making it a point to be where a lot of other people take their lunch.
That's a good
tip. You
want to
go. Thank you. And it's worked a few times for me, so I'm going to keep it up. You got to eat, so you might as well eat where other people go. Other things, though, like I like to go running and take the dog for a walk and things like that. So I've got a couple of these shirts that I don't really worry about getting grossed out. So I'll throw that on when I go for a run.
Nice.
And just hope that people see it. You know, when you park your vehicle, if you've got any advertising on your vehicle, park it by the entrance where people are driving in and out. You know, park it in an area where there's not other cars right next to it and people can see you. If you're putting advertising on your vehicle, I highly recommend to put it on the back of the vehicle, because as far as like visibility goes, the people that are driving upside you, I'll look and I'll see people and just take the reaction. Are they looking at the sign? And if they are, like, I'll roll my window down and wave and smile and say hi, give them thumbs up or something. Seriously. just try to make some kind of connection and interaction. So when they call, hey, I saw your, and it's happened, you know, hey, I saw your sign. I go, oh yeah, you were the guy with the, yeah. And so we already kind of know each other. But anyway, put it on the back of the vehicle, because people aren't driving by. They're stopped right behind you and
right.
They're staring at the back of your vehicle. If you have a bumper sticker, they're going to read it even if they hate bumper stickers.
Right.
You can't help it. So that's another tip, is put it on the back of the vehicle for sure. Anyway, so yeah, meeting people, that's the hard part. And being comfortable enough to ask for, I don't want to say ask for the sale, but ask for their information. And I like to ask for an email address. You know, would you mind if I got an email address that I could just send something to that you could have? I'm not going to put you on a list. I don't put anyone on a list. Another great tip would be do the same thing kind of, but take a digital walk around your community with Google Maps and just look around. For me, I look around business parks and I see all the identified businesses and I start to think about what they do, and I go to their webpage and I look at what they do and I start to think about what maybe I could do for them, especially if I have any constructive criticism regarding their web presence, or maybe I've noticed inconsistencies with their different pages. They don't have the same phone number on a couple different. So I'd call them and talk to them and hopefully get an email address that I can send some information to. And from there, I'm at the beach, you know, like I'm on my phone and my tablet, got the tablet on Google Maps, and I'm looking for places. And okay, let's call that place up and meet them and talk to them and flip out the stylus and say, save that, you know, copy paste that, put it in clients, put it in, you know, leads or whatever, throw it in a different folder and keep yourself organized. Do what you would recommend that your clients do and use your technology to its fullest to keep yourself organized and productive and efficient. But yeah, things like that is just, that was awesome for me. I mean, that's where I've gotten a lot of the newer clients that I've gotten as well, is just doing a digital walk around and finding places and thinking about what I can maybe do for them and calling and not really trying to sell them anything, because you're not going to end up talking to the owner, but you just want to get an email address that you can send something to and, hey, do you mind if I follow up with them? And it works, and but you're going to get so many more no's. And like, right. I said, people that are not comfortable with you even calling them and asking about that, as soon as they feel like it's a sales call, they'll hang up on you. But you got to have skin like a rhino and just keep going, because you'll talk to, I don't know, 20 people, and maybe one of them will call you for a job.
Right.
You know, and those would be good numbers. I think that would be a great number. So you got to be willing to accept that. That's part of it. I'm having a trouble, and that's why I'm putting the, I'm going to do some different advertising, but getting more residential clients. The businesses are easy to look up, and I can call a business and talk to them. I can ask for an owner, and then I can deal with that, but I'm not going to call people at home.
It's just right.
Not my style.
Sure. Yeah, I don't think in this industry, I don't think that's anybody's style, because you don't want to bother people at home.
No way.
You know, you want to get a form of advertisement that they basically can find you when they have a problem. And right. then hopefully you do a good enough job for them that they, like you said before, they'll pass it on to other people. Now, let me ask you a question. What types mm-hmm. of stuff do you use for your organization? As far as, you know, client lists and different things like that, do you use certain software right. or what do you use?
So merchant services, I'm using PayPal here.
Okay.
I use my phone and my tablet as a swiper, with their little accessory. It comes with you apply for the business account, you get a debit card and you get a little account, and you can, use it as a credit card, get 1% back, but you can also just take the money out of it and transfer it over to your business account. So okay. for me, at the level that I'm at, and the mobile nature of how I'm processing these transactions, that's worked out really well for me. There's going to be a percentage no matter who you pay for your merchant services.
Sure.
So you're not going to get free credit card transactions anyway. Their prices are pretty much as good as any of the other ones. And I like the features like the reoccurring billing. I can use it to create a products list. So I've got, when I open up the app and pull it out, I go to products and I've got fixed pricing and I've got hourly pricing. And then I can choose from there, and I can set variables and, you know, for out of area, in area, whatever, different charges for the mileage, et cetera. That's who I'm using for my merchant services is PayPal here, branded invoices, a lot of cool features. Look into it if you haven't already.
Okay.
But so that's what I'm using for that. As far as client list, a little bit ashamed to say this, but a little bit not, is that I'm just using my, when I got this phone, got Note 4, I highly recommend it. It's awesome. I'm just using my client list in there, and I can separate everything and their clients. And then from the Google apps, I can then put them in that way. So my client list right now is not significant enough for me personally to feel like I need to justify doing anything else, because when I pull them up on my phone, I have, you know, where they live, who they are. As far as like a ticketing system per se, I have that saved and I'm manually inputting that Excel. And I have everybody in there, and I can see, you know, when the last time I talked to them was and when the last time they paid me was and how much I got from them and a brief description of what I did. But what I was going to say is that I know everybody in my client list.
Okay.
So I remember the last time I worked with them, and I remember what I did. I will say for sure I absolutely plan on getting some more tools that I will probably use instead. But right now, I have to do a lot of research before I feel comfortable making a decision
right.
and pulling a trigger. I think I'm pretty sure I want to go with Screen Connect for my remote support. But, you know, I'm not 100% decided on that one. I use TechUSB for some of my automation, OGD7 for some of the other stuff. Actually, I used to use D7 a lot more, and then now I'm kind of trying to like switch over to the TechUSB as part of the process. And so I've been playing a lot with their features, and it's awesome. I love being able to put additional tools on there, other ones that I've used before. You can add things like HDTune was one of them that I had used that wasn't in the tool set that, you know, kind of comes with it.
Right.
Being able to put different ISOs on there that you can boot to is kind of cool. I love the reports. That's my favorite part about them, is being able to send a report to a client and say, hey, this is some of the stuff that I did on your computer. You know, these are some of the tools that I used, and there's a manual process that I do, but I like being able to send them that. I like that it has my brand on there, and that they can see that, oh yeah, there was 8 hours spent testing the graphics card. He did a full test on the graphics card because I said that I thought that was the problem, and he spent 8 hours testing it, kind of.
Right, right.
You know, but there was 8 hours spent on the, that's how long it took for that process to finish. So if you've got the computer 2 days and they're like, eh, it's 2 days, you know, usually when I talk to you, it's like, well, the next day. I'm like, yeah, well, we did different stuff. So let me just send you the reports and you can see, you know, I wasn't surfing. I'm
right, right. No, I, you know, a lot of times with my customers, I'll tell them, you know, I used to be the 1 day guy. And what I realized is that if you take it anywhere else to any big box store or even a lot of busy computer places, you're looking at a week to 2 weeks a lot of times. There's nobody really that I know of that does a 24-hour turnaround on a consistent basis. So what I started telling my customers is I said, you know what? It's 24 to 48 hours. I said, it all depends on what's going on with your computer. If I find some stuff that's really messed up, we might have to take a little longer with it. But I try to set that expectation up so they're not thinking, because a lot of people have one computer. And when they give it to you, they have nothing to do for that next day, 2 days, 3 days, whatever it is. So they kind of panic because it's like, well, wait, I'm on my computer every day. You just have to explain to them, it's not going to be as quick as you think because I'm going to do a thorough job. Mm-hmm. And, you know, even though sometimes it might be, I can return it to them the next day. It's not always like that, because a lot of times my customers, for whatever reason, they don't bring me their computers until they're absolutely so broke that it just doesn't make any sense to, you know, they can't use IE anymore or, you know, Chrome right. or whatever. And so a lot of times they just go, it won't get on the internet. Really? How long has it been slow? Oh, about 6 months.
Okay. Well, yeah. Okay. I mean, define slow. Like, do I have time to have a whole pot of coffee before
right.
it starts up, or just a couple cups?
So, but yeah, setting that expectation for the customer and not let, or just letting them know it might take a little time. I had a situation where I had a hybrid computer come in. It's one I've never dealt with before. And I mm-hmm. specifically don't work on tablets or mobile phones mm-hmm. because I don't like glued screens. Unfortunately, this is a HP Split X2, and it's more of a tablet than it is a laptop.
Right.
The screen disconnects from the lower part of the laptop. And after looking into it, what they cracked was the glass or the digitizer. And mm-hmm. so I have to order that part. Well, unfortunately, there's nobody in the U.S. that has those parts on hand right now. So I've got to order it from China.
Mm-hmm.
And it could take anywhere from 7 to 21 days. So when I originally told them a screen replacement for what I thought was a normal laptop, you know, would only take, you know, 3 days for me to get a screen in, replace it, and boom, they're back up and running. Now I have to tell them that I ordered it. It's going to be 7 to 21 days. It just depends. And they're like, oh, you know, okay, well, that's what it is, you know? So it's one of those things where as long as you communicate with your customer, I think a lot of times they're not put off by what we, you know, by what we tell them. And
I mean, I think it's important that they understand to a certain degree, you know, what we do, you know, like, it's not a magic wand. And I think
right.
you can probably relate that, like, well, can't you just push a button?
Right.
I don't understand. Like, last time I brought it to you, you just pushed a button and everything was fine. Well, last time you just had your numbers lock key on and you didn't know how to turn it
right.
off, and you didn't know why, you know, it kept typing nines instead of, so last time it was an easy thing. This time it's not so easy, you know, or we have resources and we have to use those resources, and now we're relying on them. So if you want to pay for expedited shipping, you know, let's look at it together. Let's see what I'm doing for you right now. I made a decision not to sell parts, for a number of reasons, but I do provide a parts acquisition assistance service that's $50 flat rate. So I don't mark up the part. I'm going to use your credit card to order it. You know, we're going to use your credit card to order. I'm going to help you buy a part. Really what you're paying for is me researching it and finding out like who you should buy it from and, you know, getting the best deal on it and things like that. And it's also, you know, like I said, flat rate. So if I have to order you a whole bunch of parts, you know, probably doesn't take me a whole much more time. And sometimes I'll charge multiple acquisition fees, but it doesn't really come up because I don't do builds. But anyway, if you got to order a part, you let them know like, hey, let's go on here. Look at it. See, this is when they can get it. And if you pay this much more, they can get it by this date, but it's still the earliest. So, you know, is that what you'd like to do? That point, and I learned this in sales because, or really more in like a crisis management mediation for management, like when a customer comes in and they're just boiled, you want to get on their side with a common enemy. And I don't want to use the word enemy, but you know, oh, this computer, da 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 da. Oh, really? And did you call HP? What did they say? Oh, they said they wouldn't help you. Oh, man. Well, lucky I'm here to help you out.
That's
those
awesome.
Dogs over there. And I'm sorry, not HP, any, you know, brand X, whatever.
Sure.
But so like that, I think can help in those situations. It's like, oh man, they can't get the part for 2 weeks. You know, we could pay expedited shipping and get it in a week, but that's still 7 days, man. And it's a lot more like you're on their side. You know, there's not a built-in opposition at that point. Like I'm doing this to you, you know, or you tell them you haven't done updates on your computer ever.
Right.
So yeah, there's like 176 of them right now. And it's going to take a long time because your computer is slow. It is. It's not my fault. I didn't make it, but it's slow. So it's going to take a while. I'll let you know when we're down to the, you know, the part where it comes back on and then takes forever to, you know, install and initialize them. But yeah. So, I mean, circumstances are what they are sometimes. And when you lead into it, to your point, and it's an outstanding point, is you've got to set the expectation. I mean, when I went into some of those jobs that I've never seen anything like that. I've never used a tunneling machine. What do I know about that? But hey man, I'll take a look at it for you and we'll try to figure this out together. And at that point, their expectation is he's going to take a look at it for me and he's going to try to help me figure it out. Okay. And they can expect for me to do that because I will. And I'll share what I've learned. And if what I've learned is not the best news, I'll give you a great example. The QuickBooks thing that I mentioned earlier. Hello, Aaron. I can't find my QuickBooks. I can't. Oh, okay. What do you mean you can't find your QuickBooks? And let's remote in. Let's check it out. Well, I go to open this and da-da-da-da. And it doesn't, it always works and it doesn't work. And my accountant says she can't find it either. And so let me talk to your accountant real quick because I know you and you don't have any interest in technology at all, except for how you need it to work for you.
Right.
And if I start talking tech, you're going to be like, I don't care. Just find it, Aaron, find it. So I called the accountant. She's like, yeah, no QBW files, no QBB files. They're just gone. Whole file's gone. And so you go in with that as the start point, you know, just saying, okay, look, this is where you're at right now. You can't find your stuff. Let me go in and look. Their hard drive that they had been, you know, doing backups on for the last 3 years running full time, it was broken. Like it wasn't working anymore. And so, well, I think we have the cloud. Can you get them from the cloud? Okay, great. Who are you using for the cloud? Brand X, right? So I go in, try to open up Brand X. Brand X hasn't done a backup in over 2 years and they've been paying them the whole time. And no one's mentioned anything. You know, maybe there was a password change or maybe something, whatever. So that's not an option anymore either. And, you know, oh, Windows backup. No, nothing, you know, so let's roll the computer back and let's go, you know, restore some old files anyway. So moral of the story is we were able to get everything that we needed to get. But the expectation going in was like, oh, this is looking like a real, real tough battle. Your hard drive's bad. Your cloud's gone. And you know, I'm going to do everything that I can do for you, but this is not looking great for you. You know?
So how'd you get that file back?
I went into the C drive into properties and then, went to, previous. So I went to the date before, she had had the problem. She had noticed the problem.
Okay.
And then went into that version of the C drive and then pulled out, not the most recent files, but pretty much all the most recent files. Yeah.
Okay.
There was one, company file that she was going to have her accountant recreate like a week's worth of data for, minor, compared to where she started out.
Oh yeah. Compared to 2 years, that is way minor.
No, compared to like, it was like 20 years on one of the company files she had. That's her company for the last 20 years.
Wow.
Okay. You know, and when I talked to the accountant, she was like, yeah, I always used to do thumb drive backups, But then she said she got the cloud, so I didn't have to do it anymore. And we know redundancy, like how long does it take? Not long at all, you know, and how much did it cost to have me pull the stuff back up?
Right.
A lot more.
Right.
So
back up. Absolutely.
Yeah. Lesson learned, but happy customer.
I mean, that's awesome.
Yeah. It was awesome. Cool. Yeah.
All right, cool. So going back to your transitioning, so you went from this part-time business where you basically, you had the same income that you had at your full-time job. So obviously, and not only that, you had saved up 3 months of basically salary that you could run on, or, you know, what they call in the industry runway, and to, you know, to run your business on. And so from that standpoint there, you figured, oh, if I'm making the same amount of money, that'll be good. Now, obviously, because you had a full-time job and a part-time job, you're basically making double. Mm-hmm. And so that was a little extra. But, you know, so I imagine that as you went in, you would go in and go, okay, now I really need to spend time. And I think scheduling is great that you talked about. You need to spend time in marketing to customers so that you can take what you're already making and make it into, you know, double, triple, whatever, and build that business out. So, now you're talking about this year in February, you actually left your full-time job. Okay. So you're still kind of in that whole runway phase portion of the, so you're still kind of working some things out, which is good. Now, have you seen, has your business been growing at a rate where, I know you're trying some different things with advertising, but as far as what you're making, are you able to, you know, expand it a little bit? Or, you know, obviously you're getting new customers and stuff like that. Is that working for you? Or, I mean, obviously you're going to still be nervous, and it's, you know, that's understandable.
Yeah. Well, so like, and sorry, I'm a long-winded describer of things, but
that's all right.
Thank you. So there's two different kinds of stress. I mean, there's the distress and the eustress. Distress is the kind that we're all used to that really doesn't do you any good. You know, if you can't do anything about it, you're just hurting yourself. Or if the kind of things that you're doing because of that stress aren't productive, you know, but then there's the other kind of stress, the good kind, you know, like I've got a really big date tomorrow with someone that I really, really like. So I'm going to take a shower, you know, and I'm going to shave and I'm going to look good and I'm going to go out and buy some chocolates or whatever. I've got a big job interview this next week. So I'm going to go study up and I'm going to get my skills together. I'm going to brush up resume and I'm going to ask my friends what they think and get feedback. I'm going to do a lot because it's super important to me. And so that's the kind of stress that this sort of thing is given me, is saying like, this is super important, man. You've really got to do everything that you can do to make this work, because it's not just you, you know, it's your family too. And people like me, failure is not an option, you know?
Right.
And like whenever things are bad, you know, I know it's going to be okay. You know why? Cause it has to be, cause there's no other option. It has to be okay. So you go into it with that mindset. If you don't believe it, then don't do it. You know, you can't just psych yourself out and fake it. Like you really need to believe that you're capable of doing it, that you actually have something to offer and that you understand what you're getting into. Like, so anyway, sorry about the bird trail. That's important. And the transition as far as getting new customers, like, yeah, I'm making as much as I was making at my full-time job right now. But my thing is, I could be so much busier. I could be doing so much more work. Working at a shop, like I'd be doing 20 computers at once and like bouncing back and forth. And that's another one of those things that personality wise, like I had to come to grips with, is that one of the things that draws a lot of people to this type of work is that you kind of enjoy hunkering down and getting all your machines set up and working your process and doing your thing. And you probably work alone for the most part. And if you work as a pair, it's like, okay, this is my side of the room and that's your side of the room.
Right.
You know, you work on your machines. If you need my help, you let me know and vice versa. But other than that, like, don't mess with my stuff. I'll be over here. And that it's not what it is, you know, when you're running it for yourself. I would like to have that happen. I would like to be able to generate the influx of business such that I don't have to spend as much time out there hustling. Cause like I mentioned, it takes a lot of energy for me to get up and put on that game face and smile and, you know, get told no and be like, thanks. And then do it again next door. I'm going to talk to your neighbors then. Don't call them ahead of time. So the money coming in right now is okay. But it's not as much about the money. It's more about being able to spend my time doing what I like doing. And that's working with the machines. And that's just not happened yet. So I don't feel like I'm booking my calendar to the point where like, I don't have to get out there and hustle, you know,
right.
I'm not going to sit around and wait for anyone because they're not going to come.
Right. No, good point.
So we'll see what happened. I got a couple signs made. Like I said, we're going to put those out, I think tomorrow morning, hopefully, and see how that goes. Like I said, I'm a numbers person. If I feel like if X amount of people see it, I got to get at least, you know, 0.5%, right? Like, so sure. One person. The other thing that I'll tell you guys is that the amount of money that it costs for these endeavors, you know, to put a little bit of ad money out there, think about what the return is going to be like on that. And most of the risks that I've made, it only has to pay off with one job. If I get one right. job, it will have paid for that direct mail, you know, or it would have paid for that person holding the sign or whatever it was that I was doing. I'm not spending thousands of dollars on advertising, spending like $50, $100, something like that here and there. Google AdWords is not super expensive. You can do those things. So if I could just get the phone ringing, that would be my goal right there, you know, and then just schedule my days. Okay. You know, every other day is pick up and drop off day where I'm going to make a run, go pick them all up, go drop them all off. And the other days, as well as the evenings, are just work on computer days. And
right.
most of us know, I mean, you can set up a whole bunch of machines and you can put your remote software on there and then you can get into, in my case, you can get in one computer and then go look at all the other computers and see where they're at. You can go click next on them. Your automated software is going to send you a report. So you're going to know more or less what's going on. So you could be at lunch looking for more customers, meeting more people. You know, you could be out on a site survey looking at an office and saying, okay, you know, let's look at your network room. Meantime, let me check on that. Okay. Next. All right. Those ones are good. Back to work. So being able to be in more than one place at the same time, again, let's use our own advice and leverage the technology we have available to us. And so I feel like I have all kinds of stuff in place and I could handle so much more business.
Right.
And now just, I don't want to say desperately, but the sense of urgency that I've imposed on this situation, again, it's got to be okay. You got to do everything that you can do. I'm working 12 plus hour days where I used to only have to work 10 hour days. And granted, you know, a lot of that work is, you know, I don't have to be on point the whole time.
Exactly. No, and I think going back to what you're talking about with advertising, what a lot of people don't realize when it comes to advertising is that when you go out and you spend money on an advertising campaign, whatever it might be, you're going to spend that money. And I've always been able to make the money back right away
mm-hmm.
that I've spent.
One job
will do it, like you said. And here's the thing. But you don't know 6 months down the road, you'll get some other customers that will come from that campaign
mm-hmm.
because they were like, oh, I remember when, let me try this person here. Let me look them up on the internet or whatever. And a lot of people don't realize that's, you know, advertising is a long-term game. It's not a short-term game. You know, it's short-term to turn it around as quickly as possible, but it's long-term and has long-term lasting effects that will steadily grow your business. It's not going to explode overnight. It's going to take time, but it's something that everybody can do in some form or fashion. And I think you were talking about the advertising of actually holding up signs or paying somebody to hold up signs by the expressway during rush hour. Mm-hmm. You know, you got your morning rush hour traffic, you got your nighttime rush hour traffic. I was actually born in California. I was only there for a few years, but I've visited a few times and I understand that, you know, everything's pretty busy. So I would, I can't imagine the number of cars that come by in a particular rush hour that are going to get you that many eyeballs. And I'll tell you what, all of us are like this. We're wherever we're at, we see a piece of advertisement, we see a sign, a billboard, whatever. And when we need something that pertains to whatever that person was selling, I will remember it. And this is a true story. I remember back in the 90s, I'm sitting in a local theater and I remember seeing this advertisement for a real estate company. And it was a husband and wife couple, and they're big in this area. And I saw that on the movie screen before my movie started. And wouldn't you know it, when I actually moved back to this area, back in, that was 3 years ago. So, you know, from the 90s to like 2011, guess mm-hmm. who I went and looked up? That same company was still around, that same real estate company with that same couple. That's what I looked up, you know, 10, 12, 15 years later, however long it was. And it was amazing to me that stuck in my mind. And a lot of people don't realize that, but that is the way it is. It's how we're wired. It's how we work. You know, Think about the advertisements online. You know, you're bombarded by all these advertisements all the time. And, even though we ignore most of them, if we still need a product or service that pertains to one of them, we're going to remember that name a lot of times if it's done right, you know, if it's done well and it's clear and concise and we understand what they're trying to sell. I do that all the time, you know? So, yeah. I think advertising in some form or fashion is definitely key. And I think one of the things that you've done is you're seeing a sense of urgency, but you might not have seen the sense of urgency had you not left your full-time job. And, you know, because you could still, under the safety of your full-time job, you could still have that extra money coming in part-time, but you made that decision to make that jump and go, here's what I'm going to do. And no matter what, I'm going to make it work. And I think that's key to going out and starting your own business. And there's a lot of people in the industry that have done it. And mm-hmm. you know what? They're not starving. Their families are fine. They're doing what they need to do. But I think a lot of us will think about this and go, man, that's a big leap. But, you know, is it really? How big of a leap is it, you know? Especially when you know that it's what you enjoy doing and it's what you're going to do anyways. So you might as well go ahead and, you know, do that to the fullest extent that you can.
I don't disagree in any way. I mean, most definitely. I'll throw this one out there and people can say what they want to say, but I've used Craigslist. I'll put Craigslist ads, and I'm not your $30 fix all, you know, I'm a lot more expensive than that. I'm not anywhere close to the cheapest in town. I'm not the most expensive in town, but I'm up there because I know I'm worth it, because I've worked for the most expensive in town and I've done their work. And if it wasn't for me, their work wouldn't have come out anywhere near as good.
Right.
I brought a lot of value to that organization. So I put some Craigslist stuff out there, and I got the idea from a client of mine my CPA, whatever. So I was talking to him. He also started his own home-based business and wrote a little book about it and everything, which was really cool. And I was super stoked to meet him. But he was saying that one of the things that he and his wife do is they'll post every single day. They have a set of rotating posts, and they'll put one up there every day. And the calls that they get are from big organizations that are like, hey, I was looking on Craigslist and, you know, I saw this person who says they've been doing accounting for 10 years, whatever, no picture, whatever. But then I came across your post and it had a real nice looking website on there. You had a link to a video on there. You know, you had this really nice thing going on. I went to your website and I'd like to talk to you about hiring you. And so I've had a couple jobs actually come in that way that are from legit employers. I mean, these aren't, I don't know, like shady people or anything.
Right.
But like if you're working and you own a business, you own a law firm and you need some help with something, where are you going to look? I mean, you're going to type into Google, right? You know, maybe you'll go to Yelp. I don't know. Maybe you'll go to Craigslist.
Sure.
It's not a thing that people don't do. And so when you go on there, you're the tallest of the short people or right. whatever, like you're the one-eyed man in the land of the blind. So like you're the best of all of them. So if they have to choose from these people, boom, like you're the outstanding choice, most definitely. So I've gotten a few jobs from that. So people say what they want about advertising on Craigslist, how it makes your business look. I don't know, but I tried to make it look good on there, and at least three people agree. And so it's only been March, right? So like I started the website and all that stuff back in December. Highly recommend when you start your business, get your first paid job before the end of the tax year that you're on. do it like before the end of that tax year, because that way you will have officially started that business and made income during that tax year. And then you can take all of the stuff that you already own that you're using for your business, and you can start using that to leverage against your taxable income. And I mentioned the guy who, the tax pro that I started seeing, he helped me out with a lot of this stuff. A lot of it I had done research on already because I knew a lot of this, but he was just validating every single point that I felt right about when I was looking at all of it. But yeah, side note, highly recommend get that first paycheck in before the end of the calendar, the tax year, so that you can start doing that. And that helped me out a lot. That actually had a lot more to do with saving that runway money is using the tax returns, because then right around the corner, you get your tax returns. Okay, now I'm okay for a couple months.
Right. Okay.
So that had a lot to do with that. That was part of the plan that I kind of forgot to mention earlier. But it was a big deal. And doing the Craigslist advertising also, it's kind of, I'm half and half. Maybe people can look it up and tell me what they think. But I made a short video, just using actually my Note 4 as the camera, built-in audio on it, made a 45-second video. Only about 10 or 15 seconds of it is of me talking. The rest of it is stock footage and just really quick, you know, pan, zoom, whatever. Went, found some free music. If you find music that's old enough, and classical music is old, and a lot of my clients are older also, and they like classical music, but it's also way in the public domain. So like these recordings are free. And just put together a quick little 45-second video. And I put that on my website. You know, I put it on a YouTube channel. I put it all over my social media, try to get likes and things like that. But that's one of the things that I did to try to roll with the punches when I saw I was getting clicks from Google AdWords, but I wasn't getting any calls. Nobody was contacting me because of it. And I'm thinking, okay, that's got to be my fault because they're seeing my website, but they're not buying. So I put the video up there. Maybe people could take a look at it. Tell me what you think. I hope it doesn't make me look cheap, because it's not, you know, super high end quality, but it's something. So that's another thing I'm trying.
I was going to say, as far as looking cheap or using Craigslist, here's the thing. You've hit on something, because people are always looking for deals. So a lot of times what they'll do is when they do a search, they actually will search Craigslist. I mean, people will find houses on Craigslist. They'll mm-hmm. find places to rent on Craigslist. So this is not something that's outside the realm. I think a lot of people, I think you're doing it the right way. I think if you make a quality advertisement and you're adding a little video there and it's linking back to your website or however you're doing that, and you're showing, what I like about your video is that you show yourself. And I mentioned to you before, the other thing I like about your website is, and I recommend this to everybody, put a picture of yourself on the front. Or if you're doing it with your wife or significant other or whatever, put yourselves on the front of that webpage, because what it shows is you are a real person. Mm-hmm. And I think that is so key into, you know, I'm not this stock photo of a beautiful person that doesn't exist anywhere in the world other than it was made for that stock photo. I don't get those. So I'm more relatable to, I want you to know who I am. And not only that, if I'm coming to your house, you don't know how many times this has happened. I've gone there and, you know, a single woman or whatever is looking out the door and says, yep, you look like the guy on the website, mm-hmm. you know, yeah. And it's like, okay, because people are going to be concerned about, you know, some stranger coming to the house or whatever. So that stuff does happen. So I definitely like that. And I think you're doing a lot of good things. I'll tell you what, we're getting a little long here, but let's go into, you've covered a lot of great information. What are some of your favorite tools, software or hardware that you're using in your business that you just could not do without?
Couldn't do without. You
mentioned some of them, so.
Yeah, I mean, the little hard drive toasters, I love those. I got one recently that's got built-in cloning capabilities that I've been playing with, but I'm not going to use it on a client's machine yet. So if that turns out to be cool, then I will love that.
Okay.
Pop it in and go, because I've heard other people talk about it, and it's true. I mean, you don't necessarily image every single hard drive that comes on your table.
No, unfortunately not.
You really should, right? I mean, shouldn't you?
Yes.
Just in case.
Yes, we should.
And so, like, wouldn't it be cool if I could just pop it in there and then just have that be step one? You know, of course, you know, once I'm getting 10 plus computers a day, that'll be different, hopefully.
Sure.
So yeah, I mean, what else? I love the tech USB. I like, I can't even think of anything off the top of my head, cause I'll just go down and play with a bunch of the stuff. I mean, Hitman I use all the time. What's another one that I don't know if everybody uses all the time, cause it's the same stuff that everyone else does. I mean, ADW, TDS, like the same set of tools that we all have access to.
Yeah, I think
special and fun and creative.
I think what it comes down to is a lot of people will use the, you know, we talk about a lot of the same tools. A lot of times people won't talk about, you know, necessarily their process, you know, is their process the same every time? Or I will tell you that as a technician, you know, kind of making my way in this business, one of the things that I did when it comes to tools is I would throw a bunch of different tools at it depending on the situation. And what I learned over time is that's fine if you have nothing but time. It's great. But the reality is we don't have, you know, an unlimited amount of time. So what I started doing was I started really cutting down to a process. And what I also started noticing is a lot of these tools were actually doing the same things. You know, in what was ended up happening is I was using the more prominent tools that I normally use. They would clean a lot of things up, and I was running other tools. I'd run full scans, and they were finding nothing. And a lot of that has to do with because they're doing a lot of the similar things. So I've got to cut down to a process now that is actually well under an hour for most of my virus removal and cleanups. And, you know, the same type of process I used to use, I would spend 6, 7, 8, 12 hours scanning a machine to make sure that it was clean. Now, in doing that, they were really clean, but now I've learned a better way of doing that. So yeah, we're using a lot of the same tools, but it might be in how you're using the tools or, you know, some of the things that you go, hey, I like this product better than this product, or this works for me on most of my stuff that I use every single time, you know, you've already, like I said, you've already mentioned some of them, tech USB, obviously you're getting the same consistent, you know, once you got the profiles in there set up, you've got the same consistent thing happening to the machine every single time, which is cool. That way, you know that, hey, I didn't miss anything. I ran all the normal stuff that I run and it did the same thing that I've done on the past 20, 30 machines, whatever. And, you know, we might adjust those and tweak those a little bit over time, but really, you know, and I'm like you too. I got one of those, cloning drive toasters, and I'm kind of playing around with it too, to see how it works. And it seems pretty simple. Now, the one I did get was it definitely tells you which drive is the, you know, slave and which drive is the main drive, because a lot of them actually don't. They just say drive one and drive two, and you got to figure out, you know, which way is the arrow's pointing. So I definitely did a lot of research on that one to get one that hopefully I can't mess up and erase a good drive.
I did the same thing because I was, it's kind of sketchy idea, right? Like, and so then do you rely on it? I don't know.
Right.
I got one that has a little LED that kind of gives you the progress so far.
That's one. I think I've got the same one. Yes.
But in terms of process, definitely, first thing that I'll usually do almost always, unless it's already like a new computer, is clean it. That's step one, is I clean the thing real good. A lot of the times the problem that you might've been having solved after it's all cleaned. A lot of times motherboards, actually, like you clean it off real good. Whoa, all of a sudden it works again. Great. Or at least long enough for me to you know, get your QuickBooks files or your PST files or whatever. And we're solid. So cleaning the machine, cleaning the keyboard, super good.
And disgusting at the same time.
Right. And so it's a health thing. It's a health thing. And I don't clean them at my bench here. I'll clean them usually up by the front door.
Sure.
And or in the back patio or something like that. A little leaf blower thing for the desktop machines. But you get them cleaned up real nice first. You know, why save that for last? So do that first. Bring them in here. Image the hard drive most of the time, unless it's one of those laptops where the hard drive is so hard to get to. And then I'll try to use software to go in and do some kind of backup first. And then it's hardware diagnostic. So you want to start testing the hard drive first because it's common. It's not uncommon at all that the hard drive is bad in a computer that is brought to you, because it's probably been used for 3, 4, or 5 years, and maybe it's never been turned off ever. So anyway, you test the equipment first, and that will do a couple things for you. And I won't reiterate points that I've heard on the show before, but if there's something else wrong, I want to let you know about it now.
Sure.
You know, I don't want to spend $400 of your time and money and fix this thing and then be like, oh yeah, by the way, power supply went out, you know, because I've been running rigorous tests on this thing. It's been going hardcore. I kind of broke that. So we're going to need to get one of those too.
Right.
But if I had just tested it before, I could have told you it was about to die. You know, I could have told you it was intermittently not working right. And that was going to be part of what's going to be involved setting the expectation with fixing your machine. So it doesn't turn a $200 bill into like a $400 bill or whatever. Or, you know, I didn't bother inspecting it, so I didn't see the caps that were about to blow on your board.
Good, my bad. Good point. Yeah. Good point.
So things like that, first test it out, make sure everything works. Once you find out everything works great, then depending on the chief complaint, like whatever the issue is, I will start addressing that. And it's going to involve a pretty standard, you know, setup with the tech USB. Manually, I'll go in and run, just kind of poke around, check things out, double check things and make sure that it all works, that their issues are resolved. But yeah, nothing really out of the ordinary. And that's why I love like those, that's why I look forward so much to just getting those basic computer jobs in here. Cause I'll do that all day long, blindfolded with one hand, you know, no big deal. Cause it's a cakewalk at this point. The onsite jobs and the business jobs, those are the ones where you got to be on point every single minute that you're working. You know, you got to be efficient every single minute that you're working. So people ask me, advertising people ask me a lot when I'm looking at purchasing advertising, who's your bread and butter is how they put it. Who's your most profitable customer? My most profitable customer in terms of like what makes me the happiest and maybe what makes me the most money, I don't know, are helping the residential clients, picking up their machines, bringing them here, fixing them, bringing them back the next day or a couple days later, and collecting my money, setting it up and making them super happy, spending some time showing them how to do it, asking them about their friends. Hey, you mind adding me to your Facebook or whatever? That's what's, I really enjoy that the most. So that's my process more or less for that type of customer. In the field, it's completely different. I would start with like an assessment, site survey, taking a look around, figuring out what's going on. And then maybe I need to go do some research before I can provide a proposal for you. That's often the case, actually. I'll go in with my phone, take a picture of their server room, take a picture of model numbers, go look at all the different client machines that are throughout their building, and then take a look at, you know, maybe I take a picture, maybe I don't, but how is their network set up? Oh, you got this wired up to this room where there's another switch that goes out to this thing. That's another router that's set up for your break room, because they're not on the, okay, so I want to make sure I know what's going on. You got your phones on there, you've got, and so then I can come up with a plan of how we're going to comprehensively achieve your goals, and then I can provide a proposal. So that's kind of my unless it's a residential on-site or something, I show up and I'm like, okay, cool. This is every day. Let's do it right now.
Right.
You know, I'll do it in an hour. We'll be done. I'll be on with the rest of my life and you're back in business.
Nice.
So yeah, I don't know if that answers your question the best. I wish I had more like unique and fun tools and things that like maybe I know about that no one else does, but like I learn from everybody else out there. So,
absolutely.
I mean, no, if I have it, it's because you had it already.
Right. And a lot of times, you know, we like to reiterate things because, you know, things that are working for one technician will definitely work for another technician and so on and so forth. And we can all pass that information around. So that's, even if it's the same tools, I still like to hear about them, what people are using, because it can be unique, or, you know, even sometimes the order, but I think you really hit on a lot of things. I'm doing the same type of thing, you know, the cleaning of the computers and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, definitely taking it from a process to make sure that I'm not wasting a bunch of time and come to find out later that something else is broke. So no, perfect explanations, but I'll tell you what, I really appreciate you coming out on the show and sharing. It's a lot of information, and I'm really was interested in you moving from that, you know, part-time to a full-time, and I definitely want to hear how it's going, you know, down the road, and the things that you're learning, because you're in that process that a lot of people want to be in. Mm-hmm. And you're kind of going through it step by step right now. So what would be the best way if people want to get in contact with you and maybe even give you a little feedback on your website, which you asked me to do also, what would be the best way to do that?
I would love it. That'd be fantastic. The best way to do that would be to go to my website, www.techytutors.com. That's TechyTutors.com. And if you go just to the top of the page, you can get to my Facebook, my Google+, my YouTube, my email. So just go to my website, contact me through there. That'd be the best way.
All right. Well, definitely appreciate you coming out and sharing with us today. All right.
So yeah, I really appreciate you having me. Thank you so much.
No problem. All right. So you guys can also find me on the Google+ at Jeffrey Hallish or Twitter at TechNutPC. And if you have any questions or would like to be a guest on this show like Aaron, email me at podnutsdaily@podnuts.com. And if you want to leave a voicemail for the show, call 1-888-697-0162. And I want to thank our sponsor, Instant House Call, for this episode of Podnuts Daily. And don't forget, if you guys need business paperwork to get you started in your computer repair business, then check out the link for the TechNibble Computer Business Kit over at podnuts.com. If you guys could do us a favor, leave us a rating and review over on iTunes. That'll let more technicians know about the show. You guys can also help support the Podnuts Network. The next time you're shopping at Amazon, go to podnuts.com/Amazon. And I want to thank everyone for listening and subscribing to the show. And we'll see you next time on Podnuts Daily. My name is Jeff Hallish. I am the host of Podnuts, where Chris Carruthers and myself take live calls on the air to answer questions or to get answers from other computer repair techs. Every Sunday at 4 p.m. Eastern. You can check it out over at podnuts.com/live. Music provided by Steve Cherubino at stevecherubino.com.